Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So today, praise God, I just wanted to, so the purpose and the reason why I do this podcast and what I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to do is because to not only get into a comfort zone of being able to share the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Look at good news is something that you receive from the gospel. And what I mean by that, and not to take it out of context or make up my own words, but being able to, the good news is healing, salvation. The good news that God's not mad at you. God loves you. God's healing is for you. All those things. That's the good news. You want to hear good news. That's what hope is. That's what those types of things are. But my purpose today and what I really want to share with you right now is, so I had this in a really, really interesting interaction with a gentleman on Facebook, and I don't like to use any kind of platform to be able to not show love, because this is going to kind of be combined. Not really. I'm going to touch on it another time. But the biggest thing, and the biggest thing that I want you to hear today is that you're a new creation, that your identity is found in your relationship with God, and it can never go away, it can never be shaken. This love for you is permanent, it is an everlasting love, and it will never change. The only thing that can change is your heart towards them. And it's funny, going back to that gentleman, you know, I said something on Facebook where I said, you know, the things of God are not mysterious. Who wants to have a father or a father who's mysterious to them? And I was really referring to finances, because that's something that God has always put on my heart and been near and dear to my heart. And the reason being is because of the Abrahamic covenant, whether you understand it or not, or whether you know it or not, you're supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. Why? Because God owns everything. He's the owner of everything. And if he's the owner of everything and you're his child, then you should be able to receive what, not only what you need, provision, but to live abundantly, exceedingly abundantly. And not only that, waxed. Man, that's for a whole nother day as well, but let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share what you've shown me, in that my identity is found in the new creation. Not only the new creation, but that I am a child of God, that I'm a son of God, that I'm accepted by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how that correlates. Lord God, people are struggling and wrestling with identity today. I've spoken on it before, but I want to hit it at a different angle, Lord God, and I'm going to preach it until, you know, we move into that next place. But Lord God, I just thank you for this time and this opportunity to minister. In Jesus' incredible name, amen. You know, so my heart's always been, and I said this before, but I had an issue with how I saw myself. And that was really an attack from the enemy. And what he was trying to do was destroy, not by what a feel-good moment was, but by who I am and who we are after we receive salvation. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, how would I correlate this? First of all, it's funny because Paul had progressed in the Colossians a deeper revelation of the understanding of the new creation. And this is where the detachment, this is where the transition is right now. And people need to understand that the faith movement has grown us into this place where we can understand our identity. And it's prophesied in Isaiah 60. A lot of people will say, well, no, that's about Jesus. Theologically speaking, so be it, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, not flying off the hip or not being speaking against theology. It's just, I can tell you this. I went to two of the biggest Bible colleges in the world for more than enough time to know that they teach you how not to do it. Okay, let me just put it to you that way. You know, there's a deeper understanding and revelation about being able to, separate the word the way that it should be. But I'm going to explain it, sharing it upon what the Holy Spirit revealed to me and had imparted to me for people's sake. Because, you know, on Facebook, we have these people that are sitting there talking about being bears and tarantulas and dogs, man, whatever it is. It's just unbelievable. But people are so desperate to be accepted that they're looking outside of not only natural, God-given, created ways of life, but what your inheritance as a new creation, a new believer, has. And listen, our identity is the most important thing, because listen, you can't have faith if you don't, you can't have faith in the substance of the things that you're hoping for if you don't know who you are. You can't do it. It's not, listen, I remember one time Holy Spirit had turned around and told me about there's order in the kingdom of God. There's not only an order in the natural, but there's order in the supernatural, and they parallel each other. And it was taken to me in Psalms 114 or 104, where he talks about, you know, the snow on the mountains melts, and in due time it goes into the river, which feeds the grass, which feeds the cows. There's an order to things. There's an order to things. Same thing with the way the supernatural works. There's an order to things. God is a God of an order. I not only recognize that, but he is, you know, he made that order for a reason, because of how he created, you know, the world and things that, you know, that's his business. But this gentleman, back to this Facebook post, had said something about, you know, he goes, well, you know, I was talking about provision and I wasn't very clear. And he chimed in and he goes, you know, there's certain places of maturity that you have to have a good theology to be able to receive certain revelations and understanding. Well, of course, there's different times and dispensations. There's no argument to that. And he's talking about it in the Ephesians neck of the woods. And he didn't even say it in that context, because if you don't understand your identity in Christ and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus and the purpose behind that, then you can even receive it, the direct revelation anyways, because you don't have faith in the substance of the things that you're hoping for. And God is the faith, is the supplier of faith, but not only that, he's the one that gives you the substance to hope for that faith and the things that you're believing for, right? Because he's I believe that, you know, God's plan for your life is available to you as much as you're willing to want to align with it. With that being said, and I didn't even need to go real far, because I knew the other day when I was speaking on it, because here's the thing, a lot of people, and this is the end result of the new creation time frame of things, and this is all I'm going to preach on it, because it's the most significant thing that I've ever seen. And when you understand this as a believer, as a person of God, people that are faith, you know, wrestling with stuff, and oh, I need to be there. And it's still taboo. I'll speak it to the older ones, and they're like, man, you know, kind of, you're touching a, and it's like, but no, that's the truth of God's word. Somebody, Sid Roth, was speaking about some things about the things that are coming up, you know, in the dispensation and going forward. And in, you know, for the remnant, the body of Christ, things of that nature. And why I believe that a lot of believers aren't walking in the fullness, in the full, you know, operating, you know, fullness of the Holy Spirit, because they don't exactly understand what they have and what they, and who they are. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't know you're loved, you can't give love. If you don't know you're a child of God, you can't be a child of God. It's just that simple. There's no rocket science to it. That's why I've alluded to the order of things, is you're not going to sit there and have the order of things happen unless you follow them, right? Makes sense? So it's not a good theology, but here's the word of God and what it says about the new creation. I don't even want to get into 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the reason why I choose the Amplified, a lot of people say, well, King James doesn't say. Well, if you sit there and you really study out the Hebrew and the Greek in the original context, it says the same thing. It's not, it's just, look at, the reason why I use Amplified is because it paints a better picture. Words paint pictures, okay? And so a lot of the times it'll bring more clarity for myself. But why I want to bring that to you is so it brings about revelation, because that clarity brings a revelation, brings and lifts that veil. Okay, but here it is in 2 Corinthians, or I'm sorry, Colossians 3 and verse 10, he says, well, we'll go up to verse 9. And it says, do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old. He's already talking in a past tense context. This is Paul talking about after Jesus, after the past tense, about the releasing of the finished work of the cross. When you're at that finished work, that releasing of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit to all believers, the restoring the things that Adam did, and I've said it before, but he says, do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerated. Unregenerated. It wasn't regenerated before. Self with its evil practices. And have clothed yourself with a new spiritual self. What? A new spiritual self. Not something that you conjured up. The new spiritual self is Jesus inside of you. The Holy Spirit inside of you. Listen, 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 listen. John, you're making this stuff up. You're pulling it out of your butt. You're reading it. You're trying to teach the Bible. You don't know nothing about it. Listen. I'm an orphan from the age of 18. I had no biological family. I said it before. I had no biological family. No aunts, uncles, had a couple half-brothers. Our relationship, even though it was tried to be amended, was never amended. It was what it was. I always tried to look in purpose in families and things of that nature. Had a couple of failed marriages. So my identity was damaged beyond, you know, I mean, what most people, sexual abuse, passed from foster family. I always wrestled with my identity, how I saw myself. The enemy had done everything in his power to destroy how I saw myself. So a couple years back, and I had alluded this before, God put a book, a very important book in my hand, and he helped me revisit it because I was wrestling with it still. Addictions, things of that nature. It wasn't even the grace of God, because the grace of God is this footprint to step you into that unmerited favor. Unmerited favor is something that you don't deserve. Why don't you deserve it? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people aren't talking about that next step. They're talking about the steps before and then you fill in the blank. No, the filling of the blank is that you're a child of God. When you receive it, you know when you receive the Holy Spirit. You know that moment. It wasn't like a physical confrontation. You were filled. I remember it. I've said it before. It was the most, I couldn't believe the day, and I'm still grateful to God for that moment. But why it rings so true today is because of where society is as a whole. Not only just the material things, but the man-made, you know, virus that caused people to, you know, mentally go astray and start making up whole, you know, pronouns and things of that nature. This is a very attacky humanity, because guess what? God's going to release the same thing. And that's what's happening right now, and the faith movement isn't seeing it. That's okay. That's the next step. But I know right now, as a man of God, and not only that, as a new creation, and it was being spoken about before. God had given certain people certain places to be able to speak on it. Here's kind of the forthcoming thing, but God had that different plan. That's his business. It's what he does. You know, we want to honor that and submit to that. That's fine. But in this time and place, it's more important than ever, because guess what? This is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 60. A lot of people will say, you're talking about Jesus. Well, duh. What are we supposed to be? Here's what happens when you read the rest of verse 10 of Colossians 3:10, this is what happens when you understand that. Then Isaiah 60 falls right into place, and it's not taking it out of line. It's correlating with what is being spoken about. Anyways, so it says, new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed. Well, how do we do that? We renew our mind. Why are we doing that? We're trying to be turned into the image and the likeness of Jesus. Two reasons that I remember asking the Holy Spirit a little while back, and it was the best answer I ever heard. You know, he tells me a lot of stuff, but this was like, what? And I remember telling him, I was like, God, what do you know? Why is it important? He says, you know why I kick Satan out? It's because he didn't look like Jesus. The reason why all of you, everybody who gets filled with the Holy Spirit is going to look like Jesus. So when they get to heaven, they look like Jesus. I'm not looking at Jonathan. I'm not looking at Sam. I'm not looking at Pam. I'm not looking at Terry. I'm looking at Jesus. That's the purpose in renewing your mind. That's the purpose of renewing your mind. You're supposed to be transformed into the image and likeness. And here's what Colossians 10 finishes saying. It says that exact same thing. It says, in the process of being renewed and remodeled into full and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and likeness of him, capital H, who created it. And then it goes back to alludes and it references Genesis 1:26. And if you know Genesis 1:26, you know that correlates. But transformed into the image and likeness. Why is that important? Why does that matter? Why does your identity matter? Because then you know who the one that you're going to serve. You know the one that you're going to receive from. You know the one that you're going to walk in the inheritance. And the inheritance is not only the baptism of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And again, you know, people will say, you know, you have to have a mental, and I agree 150%. I'm not taking that, making light of that. That's the progression of who you are when you find out your gifting and calling in your walk. But we all operate at this level because if we're an image and likeness of Jesus, then we are supposed to have the same giftings of working miraculous power. You're already a walking miracle because you inherited Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you're filled with him to be able to walk out and look like him on this earth. How does that become practical? And, you know, it sounds so profound. What are you talking about? Because listen, when somebody else is in the, at the store and you're sitting there and you can't, somebody sits there and says, you know, you're walking in front of them and you hold the door open for them. That's an act of kindness. That would be something that Jesus would do, right? Something simple, but that's a practical, tangible way of being able to do that. That's showing a sign of love and things of that nature. But it was here we go. In the new creation, all distinctions vanish. All of what you look like, all of what you think that you look like, Jew, Greek, whatever. Who you think you are, identifiers, those Jew and Greek are identifiers, especially in that day. There is no room, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, nor difference between nations, whether alien, barbarians, Caesareans, who are the most savage of them all, nor slave, nor free man, but Christ is all and in all. Everything and everywhere to all men without distinguishing of person. Wow. You're identifying with the personage of Jesus Christ. When you have that Holy Spirit inside of you, you have Jesus that lives inside of you at that very moment. That's your inheritance. That's the identity in Christ. And then my favorite verse of all time, this was the verse that Bishop Clarence McClendon had broken down. He was going through a stretch of teachings when God was telling him to talk about the new creation, the identity. And I could go on forever. There were so many verses that, I spent 4 pages of typing out that revelation and the things that came. And I'll run into them from time to time, but the most pivotal part, and this is where people use this verse to be able to talk about it in a context of, you know, oh, drugs, and that's for everybody because you're wrestling with sin as a whole, you know, from the very beginning of that initial sin, you know, behavior, your inheritance from Adam. But it says, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us because we are the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. up. I'm going to go down to 17. Sorry, that was verse 15. But Paul was still distinguishing the death. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, any person, the Messiah, he is a new creation, new creature, new being altogether. You are not your old self. You're not your old self. You're not your sins. You're not your habits. You're not your failures. You're not your successes. You're identified. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. Oh man, if that doesn't get you excited, if that doesn't help you, give you understanding into what it means to be a child of God, a son of God, not just a child, because everybody claims to be a child, but you're now a son of God, the inheritance is yours. You can talk, you can freely go to the throne of grace. That's your past, that's your identity, that's who you are. You can stand in front of God and he sees you that way. But the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. And so what we're talking about there, though, going forward, is in Isaiah 60, a lot of people are talking about the prophetic time, the time that is coming where people are the glory of God. And Kenneth Hagin had spoken about this, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Kenneth Hagin had spoken about this about 45, 50 years ago now. And he talked about the anointing, the fire of God over people of God, that the people will see flames. They'll see smoke coming from them. When you understand your identity and that it's secure forever, you feel a fire. You feel a strength. That's why a lot of new believers, they come out because they get it. They see it. They sense not only the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, but they recognize it. That's why they're so on fire, is because they're recognizing it. But once you know that your identity is firm and that it can never be shaken and never taken away, a lot of people will argue that, oh, your salvation can get taken away. That's not true. That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible at all. There was many times where I wrestled with the Holy Spirit about it and said, hey, you know, show me this. Show me that I can't have my salvation taken away. A bunch of places in Hebrews, you know, stuff like that. Anyways. Again, you know, people say, you know, well, what about the rebellious son and stuff like that? Well, yeah, you can do with it whatever you want. God gave us your free will, but 9 times out of 10, a lot of us, you know, we might wrestle with it, but you'll never have victory. You'll never be a more than conqueror if you don't understand your identity in Christ. You won't, you'll never, that's why he says you're more than a conqueror, because it's already been conquered. You need to believe it and receive it and walk it in faith, believing that I am a child of God, believing that my finances are being made, believing that I'm freed from sickness and disease, believing that I'm set free from pornography, drug addiction, any addictive behavior that's contrary to the word of God, or the relationship that you have with God. But anyway, so going back to that, and here's what the dispensation is, the changing of the guard, if you will, and, you know, the previous old guard had been passed and faith had been released, and we now know and understand it. But Dad Hagin spoke about the faith movement, but then he said what was to come. And he said that, you know, those people would be walking around, people would understanding this. And it's the new creation. It's the identity, knowing that you're secure, knowing that your identity is with the God of the universe and that it's never going to change. Here it is in Isaiah 60. Let me get there real quick. And this is the prophetic part of the promise and the inheritance in the new creation. And this is the prophet knowing what Jesus has done and the byproduct of what the finished work of the cross is. See, Jesus said that it was finished in John 19:30. The reason why he said it was finished was because I conquered not only the grave, but I took the keys from hell. And not only that, you're sitting on the throne of victory with me, because you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're sitting at the right hand of the Father. If we're with Jesus, if we're one with Jesus, we're sitting at the same place of victory. We're sitting on that side of, we've won. It's past tense. It's not becoming. It's not going to become. It has already happened. But anyways, in Isaiah 60, this is where I want you to read, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. New life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's already prophetic. That's talking about Jesus, but people, when they understand their identity and who they have and what they are, they're going to be able to walk in this. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness and all the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, people that are believers that have the Holy Spirit. And his glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and the kings of the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round you and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried and nursed in their arms. People shall come from afar. They'll recognize the glory. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall be thrilled and tremble with joy with the glory of its deliverance. And enlarged because of the abundant of wealth, the Dead Sea shall be turned into you, unto you, and shall the nations come with their treasures. And then that kind of goes into the manifestation of the physical inheritance that you receive as a new creation believer. But you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. You're a new being altogether, and that you walk and you share in the victory of Jesus Christ. If you're wrestling with your identity, if you're wrestling with that sin, I know that when I understood that, when I walked in that, I stopped sinning. I stopped masturbating. I stopped pornography. I stopped drugs. I stopped. There was no allure anymore because I knew that I'm a child of God now. The old has passed. The new has come. And it's living on the inside of me and helps me walk in faith. It helps me read the word. It helps me receive understanding and revelation. But anyways, that's what I wanted to share with people today, that people aren't getting it. And it's not going to be because of faith. It's not going to become some weird understanding. It's going to be your identity. God's releasing it now on the earth, little bits and pieces, little people or little, you know, places and people, little smaller spots. They're talking about those things in little bits and pieces. You know, they're, of course, speaking on what God is sharing with them and their body and congregations, but the church isn't going to be the same. It's not going to be a building anymore. That's going to be crushed. People are going to see it in the coming days. Prophetically speaking, I know that people are going to start to understand this even more so, and they're going to be able to walk in victory. But churches are going to be people at home. Church homes are not going to be split up from a congregation and stuff like that. It's not going to happen. The model was already set in place by some of the great pastors these last so many days, but it's coming. But that was a lot of what Isaiah 60 is talking about, and a lot of people are trying to put it on there. It's not going to be because of anything else except for the believer understanding that they are a new creation in Christ Jesus. With that being said, I just want to thank you for your time again. I know I've spoken about it in length in a couple details, but it still kind of gives me a place and an understanding when somebody talks about, you know, the glory of God, you know, manifesting because of the end times. And it's because of the identity in Christ that we have, that we're kings on this earth, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for your time, and be blessed.